Come with us on a journey into the unknown, the unexplained, and the unbelievable. We will test your senses and challenge your beliefs. A world where science and religion clash. Or do they? You will meet real people and hear real stories, but you will not believe. You will witness strange sights and hear strange sounds, but you will not believe. This is the New England Ghost Project. Welcome to the nightmare.
Hey,
what are we doing?
What?
What was that?
I just greeted everyone.
Okay.
Why?
In Mandarin, or what was that?
See? That's what we call, in reality, what we call pareidola.
Oh.
We heard noise. It sounded like something that we were familiar with, so we went to that thing. Mm-hmm. If I had gone on, it would have been even better, but I wasn't about to.
Yep.
So we misinterpreted what I was really doing,
which
was nonsense.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
No, I didn't misinterpret it.
Well, you did.
I declared it as nonsense.
Yeah. You looked at it. You said, what was that, mandolin? You put a name on it, didn't you? Yeah. Whatever it was, yep. Right? So, I don't know. Anyway.
It's a great start.
Yeah. Well, welcome back, everyone. Ghost Chronicles. Morning edition.
Morning edition. Oh, you were looking for me help.
I forgot what the hell.
Like you were testing me there for a second.
Yeah, I could be tested. Anyways, morning edition. We are back. We've had a rough month. You know, first one, I had to cut the show short because I almost passed out. Second one, we had technical difficulties, yep. And we only got about half the show in, which was kind of crappy. But anyways.
Third one, I wasn't here.
Third one, we didn't have a show.
Yep.
So we're here. So we have to roll it all in one and make it such a great, great show that you'll just want to come back for more.
March has been that way.
It's my birthday. Be careful what you say.
Trade, happy birthday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway. So what's happening to you, Lou, since I seen you last? Something new and exciting? Anything paranormal you want to talk
Nothing
about?
Nothing paranormal.
No. No toilet paper disappearing?
Toilet paper disappearing? Where'd that come from?
I have no idea.
All right. Interesting.
I've had some interesting things at the Love Shack. Yeah, so I don't. You know, I'm not
paranormal or just interesting.
Everything is interesting.
Everything is interesting. Yeah.
Right. If it's paranormal, well, watching paint dry isn't interesting, but
yeah.
For the most part, it is. I bought myself a milk creamer, you know, just because I used to use a plastic one, but, you know, plastics would stink after a while and everything else. So I got myself a glass one, which is kind of cool. It's got a little plastic top on it, but it also has a ring on it, right? So I use this thing anyways and everything else, and then it was time to clean it. So took the top off and took the plastic cap off, put it on the counter next to this. So Jan washed it and everything else. I go up and I says, where's the ring? She says, there was no ring. I says, where's the ring? There was a ring. I put it right there on the counter so that you could wash it with the other thing.
Yep.
She says, I didn't see any ring. So we looked everywhere and everything and couldn't find it. I go use the milk creamer for a couple of weeks, you know, different times, cleaning it and everything so forth during the weeks. And then I open it, and freaking ring falls.
That's the ring.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Jan knows nothing about it.
And Joanne knows nothing about it. So she washes it all up, puts the ring. We have a double sink, so we have that little metal thing in the middle where, I like double sinks. Anyway, so she puts it there to wash, and she washes it all up, and then she puts it on the windowsill. So I go get the milk cream in time to use it again, and then it's not around. She's, oh, I put it on the windowsill. So anyways, it does show up, though. It shows up about a week later. I'm walking on the floor, and it's on the floor.
Okay.
I actually triple. So
now you don't have a cat anymore, right?
We don't have a cat.
Okay.
No cat. No animals. So anyways, that's the story. So she washes it all up again. Definitely leaves it for me so that I could fart. She puts it on my side of the counter in my coffee machine so I can see it's there.
Yep.
And it's in a paper thing. I got it. Take it off. Open up the thing. Put the ring inside the thing. Just rest it on the top. Just barely tighten the top of it, right?
Yep.
So I go to use it again. There's no ring.
What is going on?
I have no idea. A magical ring.
Yes.
But weird stuff like that. You ever weird
poltergeist
stuff? Poltergeist. Ever witness stuff like that?
Yeah, but I usually take the blame for it.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I would. I mean, I look for logical explanations, no, but it's just a series of events. It's driving me nuts.
I wasn't meaning you should. It's just that usually if something screws up, I'm thinking, how did I screw this up?
You notice I didn't say it was paranormal. I just said it was interesting because I really don't know the explanation for it. You know, I may be she may be, we don't know, but it's interesting. So I'll tell you another little story. Mm-hmm. What the hell? We're on the paranormal crap. I make puzzles jigsaw puzzles in the wintertime.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And with my back this year, I haven't been able to, you know, do any many really. So I took one out a little while ago, probably about a month ago or something like that. And we did the jigsaw puzzle, right? And I put it all together and I had a few pieces left and I was missing a piece from my border, right? So my son and his wife came over to visit and everything else. They're into puzzles too. So he likes to put a piece in there. He knows that irritates me, but he'll do that. So, he says, where's this border piece? I says, it's in there, isn't it? And so he looked all through the few remaining pieces. There may have been a dozen pieces left over, all in the box, so they're all spread out. So it's not there. So he, and then his wife looks, right? And then we do all the same thing. I did the same thing. So you run your hand over the board because sometimes they blend in with the thing. So you know, make sure there's no pieces there. No pieces. Couldn't find the damn thing, but all right. So day later, I got 2 days, whatever, I got back to it, finished it off, and the border piece was there in the pieces.
In the puzzle. Oh, in the pieces.
In the pieces. Not in the puzzles, in the pieces.
Yeah.
So then I did another puzzle, and almost the exact same thing happened again.
Yeah.
Okay. So now you say, okay, you just dropped a piece or whatever. Somebody picked it up, put it on there, blah, 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 whatever. But this is the interesting thing is that I do my banking with the Washington Savings Bank at Dragon. There used to be a teller in there, Megan Corey, and she was a huge fan of mine. She bought all my books and she was talking everything else and, you know, about it. So we're also friends on Facebook. And the last photograph of I saw was hers was a puzzle piece on the ceiling. And it was a border piece too, just to add a little more fun to it.
Yep.
So I came in and I saw her and I says, what's with the puzzle? I says, you know, I saw your Facebook and I had a piece. He said, oh, when my kids were young, I used to do the puzzles. So we would do the puzzles and they would always hide one piece on me. So before I could complete it, I said, oh, okay. So shortly after that, she died. So I'm wondering, I said,
is she messing with you?
Yeah, I'm wondering, is that a way of knowing? I mean, because she's in my prayers. She's on my prayer list, you know, for soul. So I'm just wondering if she's, you know, just recognizing that or whatever. I just think it was
having fun. Yeah.
I think it was so interesting. Once again, it's not, you know, oh, that's paranormal. I don't know. It's interesting. It's kind of cool. That's all. So anyway, the other thing, speaking of paranormal, we get some of the things we have to do, but no, we don't have to. But we did a show, Next Generation show was with Leslie and who's a medium, if you don't know, and Jim Stonia, who is a IAVP specialist. He does everything, though. He's a tech worker.
We had Jim on the show. We've had Leslie on the show. Have we ever had Jim
on the show? I don't think so. I don't think so. Anyway, so three of us were on. We were talking about our investigations and the paranormal, and we asked the question, you know, what would be, you know, what's your beliefs in the paranormal and what you believe? And Leslie asked me that, and I says, I really don't know. I says, I see a lot of things. I go and investigate and I see a lot of things. And to me, I'm trying to understand them and everything else, but I don't think they really affect my personal beliefs. Is that possible?
Well, you remain, what's the word I'm looking for? It's critical thinking. Like when someone asks me, I always say I'm open. I'm remaining open.
Yeah.
And I'm looking for compelling instances.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of noise out there. There's a lot of non-compelling instances.
Right.
You know, so that's my position on it. It's like, I'm just trying to remain open. And there are certain things, like Leslie, one of them, Maureen Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Maureen Wood just gives me compelling stuff, but it's all anecdotal. I'm not experiencing it firsthand like you have on many occasions.
Yeah, but even though I've experienced it firsthand,
yeah,
it hasn't like really like to me sunken in like it's impression that, you know, I when I do all this stuff and even in our books and everything, it's I'm relaying exactly what I experienced, and these are, you know, yep, very unique experiences, including seeing what I believe are three solid apparitions. But it just really hasn't affected me any. It's like when I go and do anything, I'm just doing it as that observer more than trying to prove something or disprove something. It's just more of an observer and reporting my own experiences as part of that observation.
I think you and I are very similar, is that we want to put a bow on things. We want to figure it out. We want an explanation, but we're okay if there isn't one.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I'm at the point in my life where, okay, I don't have a reason. I don't have a reasonable explanation for that. I'll just let it sit there.
Right.
And let it percolate and add it to what else. And sometimes a little later on, you get a different context. So you get another incident and you put the two together. It's like, it's okay to leave it. Like, I don't really know what that was.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's just weird. I just, you know, I don't know what it is. I really don't, but it's strange. Very strange, because when I think of it, so much I've experienced, so much seen, so much and done sometimes, and I think, wow, these are cool, this is interesting, but it hasn't really profoundly influenced me, which is the intriguing part.
Well, we've talked about this on a number of occasions. Is there empirical evidence for this? Is it possible? I mean, with CG the way it is right now and the way we can manipulate things, what would it take for you to believe there were aliens or there were ghosts?
Exactly.
Is it possible to prove that? What would it take? It would take all you can do is a personal experience. That's all.
Yeah.
And even then it never seems to be clear enough so that you can definitively understand what it was you went through.
I mean, yeah, we see so many things in the world today, UFOs and stuff like that. I've really made no opinion one way or the other on them. I, you know, I'm interested. It's cool. But am I going to tell you aliens exist? No. Am I going to tell you they don't exist? I don't know.
Exactly.
You know, same with Bigfoot, same with ghosts, same with anything. It's just that way. I always consider
myself in search of that one compelling example, that one that I can't be skeptical about.
See, I look at me as more as a surgeon. Like if you're in an operating room, you got a little child you're working on, and you you have to cut them up, the blood's going everywhere, but you're not affected by it. In other words, you're doing your job, and you know, you're doing your job. And to me, that's how I think I am in my beliefs are the way I look at the paranormal in general. So it's kind of weird, but I know.
Well, that's the only way we're going to get what we're looking for, which is that one example that convinces us.
I don't think we're ever going to get what we want.
I don't think we're ever going to get that either.
I mean, what?
And as we've talked about, I don't know if it's possible.
Yeah, even the alien thing. I mean, it's always open to whatever. Because you always get, I mean, look at the moon landing, right?
Exactly.
Right?
We can't.
The flat earthers.
We can't agree right? The earth is round, but we landed on the moon, so. Are we going to agree on anything else?
I don't know. It's just nuts.
Yeah, I know.
Anyways. Oh, here's a good one. Oh, anyways, I just found all this kind of cool stuff I thought you might like.
Okay.
Because, you know, April Fool's coming up.
Yeah, that's right.
So, anyways. Fool's Gold. In 1582, Pope Gregory the Eighth introduced the Gregorian calendar. We all know that, right?
Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Current calendar.
Moving the start of the new year to January from April, because it used to be in April. Those who kept celebrating the old year were ridiculed as April Fools.
April Fools, okay.
Which led to the unofficial holiday.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's got some wild stuff. This is, I mean, I just happened to get this. This is, what is it? AARP magazine or whatever they send it to. Oh,
I may have a copy of that somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, it's got some cool stuff in it, but it's got little things like this. In 1698, the first documented April Fool's prank took place in London.
1698.
Mm-hmm. A clever Brit announced a special event at the Tower of London. See the lions washed. No such public cleansing of jungle cats was planned, but the announcement drew crowds of rubes.
Rubes, yeah.
What's rubes?
Gullible people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh, that's a word.
Marks.
Yeah.
Tosses. Tosses.
That's a...
It's English.
Yeah, English thing, yeah. Okay, 1796. The earliest recorded American April Fool's prank took place in Middleton, Connecticut. What did they come up with this crap?
That's silly.
Well, you got to know this stuff. This is important stuff.
You're telling me that there wasn't an April Fool's prank before that in the United
States? No, I'm not telling you. Okay, they're telling me. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Don't you do that to me.
Gotcha. The editorial.
Don't shoot the messenger. Okay, so the earliest recorded American April Fool's prank took place, recorded, maybe that's the key, in Middleton, Connecticut, where a handbill promised a marketplace for fool's coats.
Fool's coats?
Fool's coats. Uh-huh. It said sellers should bring the coats of various colors, yellow to predominant, what? Predominate?
I don't know.
Predominate.
Predominant.
Predominant. With lots of tins, bells, and whistles and tassels on it.
Okay. So predominantly these colors, but with a lot of stuff on it.
Okay, sure.
Yep.
That'll work. It said to predominate with lots of, well, whatever. What the hell do I know? So they just sent out a flyer saying, oh, bring your coat and it's April Fool's coats at Marketplace. So people came and brought their crap.
You know what April Fool's is?
What?
We discussed it earlier.
What?
When the Red Sox said they were going full throttle this year. That was April
Fool's. All the Patriots are going to spend.
Yeah, they're going to burn cash.
Burn cash. Yeah. Anyways, in 1974, an explosive prank.
Ooh.
Ooh. Residents of Sitka.
Sitka?
S-I-T-K-A. Sitka.
Canada?
Alaska. Close.
Alaska. Okay, yeah. Sitka, Alaska, right. Yep.
Woke to see smoke rising from Mount Edgecumbe.
Okay.
Officials responded with a possible volcanic eruption.
Oh, God.
But really was a group of people who piled hundreds of tires and greasy rags okay. into the crater and set them on fire and sprayed April Fools on the snow.
First, I love it. Secondly, that was unwise. Stop panicking the community. I love it, though. That is awesome.
That's some good stuff.
That's great.
1980, a meaning of hat hair.
Hat hair?
Hat hair. A new meaning of hat hair. The magazine of the British Army reports that the guards' fur helmets need to be trimmed because the bear pelts were so thick that the hair continues to grow.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
The London Daily Express reprinted the prank story, perhaps because it suggested how bear homeruns could possibly cause baldness cure? Could it possibly be a baldness cure? So the beer hats would continue to grow. So you had to give them a trim.
Had to trim them.
So you had to trim the, Does that count for the beaver hats too?
Yeah, well, it could be.
Yeah.
I still like the volcanic prank. I'm going to pull it off at Etner in Sicily sometime.
You can do it here at
Mount Washington.
No, the in Lowell, Mount Lowell, and the dump in Lowell.
That'd be a whole different thing.
1983, some meta mischief. When an Associated Press reporter asked Boston University history professor Joseph Boskind about the origins of April Fool's Day, he joked and cited a fictitious King Krugel who named inspired the noodle dish, King Krugel. He was shocked that the reporter actually run the gag as facts.
That's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before, but that's funny, though.
Professor Humor.
Yeah. Ooh, here you go.
That's the reporter goes, ooh, this is a good story. Mm. I got this week's story.
This is right up your alley, Lou.
Okay.
Yeah. False pitch.
False pitch.
A pitcher. Mm-hmm. Can hurl a fastball 168 miles an hour?
Oh, I remember this one. Yeah, this is Sports Illustrated.
That's what writer George Plimpton claimed about a supposed New York Mets prospect, Sid Finch.
Sid Finch, yeah. I'm trying to remember his name, yeah.
In Sports Illustrated. Fans fell for the gag. Some call it the greatest April Fool's prank in sports history.
Yep. This prospect
168 miles an hour, people believed it, huh?
Yeah, they had a picture of him on the cover, and I'm trying to remember the exact picture, but they had a picture on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
Figure was plumped, though.
Huh?
Figure was plumped.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what I mean.
But the pitcher was in the snow, and he had one boot on, and he was barefoot on the other foot, and he was throwing a ball in the snow. It's like this guy was just out in the woods throwing 168 miles an hour.
I love it.
But Sports Illustrated ran it like it was the truth.
Sort of like the H.G. Wells, War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds.
Yeah.
You ever heard the radio broadcast?
I have.
I love the movie, and I've heard the radio broadcast. Yeah.
Radio broadcast. You get the real feeling of it. You heard about the Battle of Los Angeles, right?
I think I have. Refresh my memory.
That is one of the most freaking interesting stories. You know, after the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor, everybody was really anxious, afraid that they were going to hit.
By the way, there's a picture of Sid Finch.
Oh, cool. Good job. Look at that. Yep. 168 miles an hour.
The Curious Case of Sid Finch, Sports Illustrated. Yep.
I love it.
He's throwing in the snow, one barefoot and one boot on. And
Who is that a real pitcher?
No, I don't know who it was.
Okay, just curious.
I don't believe it was a real pitcher.
All right, I have no idea. Yeah. So the Battle of New Orleans, Los Angeles, yeah. Battle of New Orleans happened.
Smacking crocodiles in the ass, shooting cannonballs out of it.
Do you remember that?
According to the song.
Oh, you remember that song? Get out of here. Johnny Horton.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah. 1859, we took a little trip along the snow. What, 1959, took a little trip. Down the Mississippi.
Yeah.
Took a little powder and we took a little beans. And we fought the bloody British at the town of New Orleans. Yep. We fired our guns and barrels kept running. We fired once more and they began to run.
All I remember is they were smacking gators on the ass. Shooting balls out of the gators.
The candles melted down, so they grabbed an alligator and they bought another round. They filled his head with cannonballs and powdered his behind. And when they let the powder up, the gator lost his mind.
All right, so this was the basis for the movie. Was it 1942? Is that the movie with John Belushi?
Oh my God, that's on a blast from the past.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can pull that up. Oh, you can pull that up. You're quicker than I am.
What?
Just put down Battle of Los Angeles.
Battle of Los Angeles.
Yeah, because I'll give you facts, but I mean, I'll give you stuff, but I don't have the facts on it in front of me.
That had one of the greatest lines in there, and I think I was the only one in the theater who laughed at it when it, they're sitting there. They had to get this guy who was on his porch overlooking. There's a Japanese sub off the coast in the movie.
Which is true. That really happened. Yeah.
And the guy's looking in binoculars off his porch. So they had to go get him so he wouldn't squawk on him. So they take the guy, and he won't go without his big cathedral radio that's in his apartment. So they take him out in the boat, and they row him back to the sub, and they put the guy in the porthole and the hole. And then they try to put the radio down, and it won't fit. And two guys are speaking in Japanese, and the subtitle says, "We got to figure out a way to make these things smaller."
That is cool. Any luck with that?
I get there.
Yeah, okay.
I was talking.
Yeah, I know. But that really did happen. The submarine did shoot shells at the oil fields in California, and they didn't hit anything, but they shot at them.
We had subs, you know, off the East Coast here.
Yeah, I know we did. They fired. They blew up a truck on land.
What, facts in summary? Battle of New Orleans, facts in summary?
Not New Orleans. Los Angeles, dum-dum.
Damn it. I did the same thing.
That's what happens when you get on a track. Run track. But anyway. It's happened. Like I said, they did fire, but they didn't get anything. But the people were very scared. They had total blackout there. You couldn't even smoke a cigarette in the street.
Battle of Los Angeles. This is the Wikipedia version.
That's fine. It should be crap, but it's fine.
Battle of Los Angeles, also known as the Great Los Angeles Air Raid, was a name given by contemporary sources to a rumored attack on the continental United States by Imperial Japan and the subsequent anti-aircraft artillery barrage, which took place late February 24 to early February 25, 1942, over Los Angeles. This is what the movie is based on. The incident occurred less than 3 months after the U.S. entered World War II in response to the Imperial Japanese Navy's attack on Pearl Harbor, and one day after the bombardment of Elwood near Santa Barbara on February 23rd.
Yep.
Initially, the target of the aerial barrage was thought to be an attacking force from Japan, but speaking at a press conference shortly afterwards, Secretary of the Navy Frank Knox called the purported attack a false alarm. Newspapers at the time published a number of reports and speculation of a cover-up to conceal an actual invasion by enemy airplanes. When documenting the incident in 1949, the United States Coast Artillery Association identified a meteorological balloon sent aloft at 1 a.m. as having started all the shooting, concluded that once the firing started, imagination created all kinds of targets in the sky and everybody joined in.
That's pretty much it. They fired tons of stuff, and they didn't hit anything.
In 83, the U.S. Office of Air Force History attributed the event to a case of war nerves triggered by a lost weather balloon and exasperated by stray flares and shell bursts from adjoining batteries.
Yep.
As an example of the incompetence, the incident was derisively referred to as the Battle of Los Angeles or the Great Los Angeles Air Raid.
Yep. And yeah, they would. Because everything wasn't coordinated like we have nowadays. So, they were pretty much independent. They were firing all over the place.
And so once the gun started firing, everyone joined in.
And then there's a famous picture. And it shows a bunch of searchlights up. And then it shows like almost a flying saucer in the middle of it that's taken.
Hang on. But, got it for you.
But even the, that one there, right? Yeah. So they're saying, oh, it's a flying saucer. It was really an alien invasion and everything. So, but the thing with those pictures in that time of, they used to enhance them pretty much like we did today.
Yep.
But they would enhance these pictures so you could see it better for the newspapers and stuff. So that's why this one looks as good as it does. The original one is not as clear. And you got to remember, we got all these circles like going there, but it does seem like it's illuminating something on that. But that was a big faux pas, or whatever they call it.
Faux pas. This guy got bullet holes in his trunk.
Yeah, they were firing everything. I mean, those shells came down to the ground.
Well, you know, think of 9/11 and where we all were a week after 9/11 mentally.
Mm-hmm.
After the attack on Pearl Harbor, you had to figure they were coming to the West Coast, right?
Oh yeah, because especially after they fired on the submarine there. I mean, the submarine fired on the oil fields. They didn't hit anything. Speaking about the 9/11 and the thing, let me slide through this. I've got a piece of paper on this thing here. But come on, where are you? Oh, here it is. Yeah. This is during World War II, too. Mm-hmm. And we know about the Trade Center, right?
The what?
The Trade Center. And what happened?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So on the morning of July 28, 1945, while flying an Army B-25 towards New York's LaGuardia Airport, Army Colonel William Smith became disoriented in heavy fog and drifted over midtown Manhattan.
Yeah.
The World War II combat veteran managed to dodge several skyscrapers, but he was unable to avoid plowing into the 78th and 79th floor of the Empire State Building at 200 miles an hour. The crash triggered a massive explosion that sent debris careering throughout the building. Smith and two of the crewmen were killed, and there were 11 people inside the building as well. Four-alarm fire broke on several floors, and it was the highest building fire in New York's history, but firefighters managed to extend the shit in 40 minutes. This is 1942, and we were able to do that. Amazing, the undamaged section of the building was reopened in just 2 days.
2 days?
Yeah.
Wow. Obviously, no zoning.
I mean, that's, you know, that's, it's kind of a prerequisite of the, I mean, precognitive or whatever you want to call it, of the Trade Center. Yeah, premonition of the Trade Center is pretty much what happened. They drove planes in. But I guess they made buildings better back then.
Interesting. Yeah, here we go. It's interesting. It's another example of how we can't agree on anything.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, all the conspiracy theories about 9/11.
Oh, everything's conspiracy. Yeah.
Taking buildings down. And
yeah.
It was all, none of it was real.
Yeah.
There were no planes.
It was just to get the war going.
And by the way, buildings were built better back then.
Yeah. In that incident, by the way, there was a woman who, in an elevator who fell 75 floors and lived.
Wow.
75 freaking floors.
Someone was paying attention to her. Well, what are you getting conspiratorial on it?
No, I'm not conspiratorial.
Probably because the cable wasn't snapped. Probably because of the pump just let winch
it's
just
pretty
let
much
go
gone.
And slid down.
It was pretty much gone.
Okay.
75 board.
Good for her. She lived a good life, and God repaid her.
Still lived.
She still lived. Right.
Even better. But anyways, all right. Well, I'm on the Empire State Building. Did you know?
It's inside the building, by the way.
Oh, cool. It's amazing. Do you know that, Thomas Edison was interested in the life after death as well as a lot of people were. And of course, you hear all the talk about a spirit corner and everything else. But he believed that if anybody was going to, I think I have his quote here exactly. In fact, I believe, which is kind of interesting in itself.
About the afterlife?
Yeah, what he believed. Here it is. Edison saw no reason why he couldn't find a practical way to reincarnate the dead. He also didn't see anything odd about it. In 1920, he told Scientific American, "I have been at work for some time building an apparatus to see if it's possible for personalities which have left this earth to communicate with us." If this is ever to, this is the line. If this is ever to be accomplished, in other words, communication from the other side, it will be accomplished not by the occult, mystifying, mysterious, weird, or other such mediums, that are employed by so-called mediums, but by scientific method. Interesting proposition, right?
Yeah.
Saying, okay, it could be done, but you ain't going to do it through a medium.
Did you read the article recently? Some physicist thinks he's cracked time travel.
I did just see that in the thing this morning. Yeah. I did not read it, though.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, the details of it, he's pretty vague about it, but he was talking about the mechanics of it. But the only way he felt you could do it is to create a machine and do time travel, not do time travel forward, but you could go forward and send a message back in time with this machine, but you could only go back to the invention of the machine.
Okay.
So 10 years from now, they could go back to today if they invented the machine today, which he doesn't have today. But it's based on gravity and Einstein's theory of relativity. And...
Do you know that Edison actually, when he died, he left a series of code words like Houdini did?
Did he? Yep. A death pact?
A death pact, so that if there was any real mediums or any ways of communicating, that he would be able to do that. And they actually held a seance on the Empire State Building after his death.
Yep.
His good friend, Mr. Dunninger, had the words, so he knew what they were. And anyways, so this is a little bit about it. It's in the papers, but in the Brooklyn Daily Eagle. No relations to the Lawrence group. All right, so here it is. The seance was staged near the top of the Empire State Building in a darkened room on one of the upper floors. Here, Mrs. Werner, that's the medium, made brave efforts to bring forth and materialize the spirit of the late Thomas Edison. Mm-hmm. This is the net results. The net results was a state of self-hypnosis in which she went through various stages of types of contortions and spoke in words indistinctly. The words were allegedly to be the spirit of Edison speaking through her. The first word to come out was Tonawanda, a town in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. This was declared to be one of the 10 words which Edison wrote for Dunninger before his death, and which have since remained sealed as a test of communications from Edison. If his spirit survives, he communicates through a medium. You have to come up with this word. Next came some rather incoherent words to the effect that he, Edison, disagreed with his family. Mr. Dunninger asked Edison the purpose as the purpose to be in control of Mrs. Werner for some words concerning their last meeting. He asked to be informed that what happened at the dinner of so in other words, Werner asked her what happened at the dinner I had last dinner I had with him at Edison's home.
Yep.
The words were written by Mr. Edison for our test purposes. The only response was facial contortions by Mrs. Werner. The word Tonawanda was declared by Dunninger as not to be one of the 10 words. Okay. Mr. Dunninger declared that everything he did was done by magic, and some of these tricks, he said, were used by fraudulent spirits mediums who surrounded and manipulated with a lot of hokum pokum. And frequently fleece various clients out of money.
Yep.
So there you go.
So the debunking mediums.
Well, it was there to see if Edison came back. They didn't do it, but then they soon realized that she ain't it.
Can we, as I was thinking about this time travel article,
yeah.
Time travel isn't possible because, I mean, we can reason that it isn't possible because we haven't had an example of it yet.
Yeah.
Because there is no prime directive. If you're a Star Trek fan, there is no messing with the past. If someone invented a time machine, they'd just go back in time and they'd talk to people and they'd let them know. They wouldn't go back secretly. They'd go back and say they were time travelers, wouldn't they?
I don't know.
Or, you know, if you Back to the Future, or you'd go looking for gambling insights, one or the other. There is no regulatory bureau for time travel.
And then you get that whole thing about what is it, the conundrum? If you kill your grandfather, you no longer exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's beyond me till it happens.
Or someone would go back and kill Hitler, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Just couldn't have happened. Back's starting to bother you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's starting to hurt.
Yeah.
Anyways. Let's go back with some of these silly things that are going on.
Okay.
2001, a groundbreaking hoax. For earth-shattering impact, few pranks can't beat the British DJ who what? Who said a replica of the Titanic could be seen from the cliffs of Beachy Head in, that's an interesting name, Beachy Head,
yeah,
in Essex, Suffolk. Crowds flocked to view the made-up ship, and part of the fragile cliff cracked and later crumbled.
This is why we have flat earth people. People will believe anything.
Corporate cut-ups. I like that one. 1998, Burger King took out a full-page ad in USA Today planning that Southpaws could order a lefty Whopper with condiments rotated 180 degrees to create a left-handed taste.
All right, excellent. No, actually, that's kind of fun. Eh. No one's buying that.
You want a bit?
Just no. I mean, people will buy. I mean, no one's buying into that as a prank. It's just having a little fun.
America has spoken. We at Cotton, and this is 2018 or 2018. I can't really read.
Okay.
We at Cottonelle, you know they are toilet paper people, have listened and read an announcement for toilet paper for lefties.
Toilet paper for lefties. Good.
How would
much needed
toilet paper for lefties? How is it any different? I don't know. But speaking about that, are you a
I was just going to ask you the same
top
thing.
Or the bottom?
I don't really pay attention to it. Just whatever curious. It is.
Oh, really?
Kind of like the top, I guess.
Where it comes over it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it underneath.
Comes out because
then you can pull it and just rip it.
Yeah, because over the top it's forward though. Underneath it's to the back. Oh no, you can have it underneath.
Huh?
No, I'm thinking.
Like this.
Yeah, I don't pay attention.
See? Can you? Oh, you can't see that. Yep. Can you see this in the window? See the right here?
That's, oh, okay. I wasn't didn't know I looked.
Look in the window.
I can see it, yes.
See that?
Yeah, see that's in the back. That's pulling from the back. Against the wall. Over the top.
That's the way I take it.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Interesting though.
I don't really pay attention. One it doesn't bother things. Me. It's something I don't give any mental energy to.
It's something you used to. Yeah. That's all, basically. And
yeah.
20.
No, but you consciously, I don't know how often you do toilet paper. Not that I do it that often, but do you consciously put it a certain way?
Yes.
Or do you just throw it? No, I just throw it.
Oh, no.
Whatever.
No.
However it ends up, it ends up.
No. We correct it if people put it the wrong way.
And I know cat owners have a way of doing it. Cat will just roll it out all over the floor.
I can roll it either way.
They can, well.
It's a roll. It's going to roll.
No. If it's like you have it, they can't unroll it.
Yeah, they can.
No.
You pull the bottom and it just keeps going.
Oh, you pull the bottom. They don't. They just roll the silk.
If you roll the top,
yeah,
then that's different. It will come out. Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Unless, of course, they roll it backwards. Never mind.
Okay. So if they're that smart, they can have it.
In 2019, Audi Australia,
yep,
announced the B-tron, a vehicle that runs on honey.
Yeah.
A sustainable natural acquired fuel harvested from Robina flowers in Bavaria. The car was to include an onboard toaster. Never mind. For sweet and morning treats. That's got to be a prank. The B-tron. In 2019, McDonald's restaurant in Australia again announced the McPickle Burger.
Oh, okay.
McPickle Burger is a juicy flavored pickles layered in between melted cheese and ketchup and sauce on a toasted sesame bun. So you got nothing but pickles. Oh, Kim would like that.
I could go for it.
Kim would like that.
I wouldn't.
No meat. Perfect for her.
I wouldn't accept it a lot, but.
Talk to Kim. And the last one I'll give you. In 2023, KLM Dutch, Royal Dutch Airlines unveiled the reclining alert system, saying that we've developed sound effects that notifies passengers when the front seat in front of them reclines.
Okay.
That's a good idea. I'm just saying. All right. So we're going to take a break right now anyways, because we're almost done with the show, right?
Yep.
Yeah. How much time we got left? Yeah, we'll take a short break.
If you have a paranormal event, book, or something else you want people to know about, then why not advertise it on Ghost Chronicles Radio? With over 150,000 downloads a month, get your message out to an audience that's interested in the subject. We have a plan at a cost that fits your needs. For more information, contact Ron Kolick at anyghostproject@comcast.net or call 978-455-6678.
Are you seeing a ghostly apparition every time you look in the mirror? Are you terrified to realize that that pale, lifeless, lack of energy form hovering before you is in fact you? How would you like to be transformed? Healing begins from within, and it's never too late to start feeling good. Are you curious? Interested? Good. Don't wait another minute. Visit transformyourlifenow.org or contact Maureen. The email address is maureen@transformyourlife.org.
Everyone is cashing in on social media, and all marketing roads lead through social media. If you want to make a splash here in the Merrimack Valley, you need to tap in. This is where the new CEM Podcast Studios come in. Of course, you can spend your time, energy, and money learning how to wrangle technology to make a podcast instead of running your business. Or you can invest in telling everyone in the Merrimack Valley, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Maine, the Seacoast, or everywhere in the world about your great business, product, service, or yourself. The CEM Podcast Studio is a local audio and video studio dedicated to the craft of podcast. Their studios feature state-of-the-art recording and mixing equipment designed specifically to produce the best audio and video podcast. Best of all you need to worry about is your show, your business, and your brand. We do the rest. Call 978-686-9966. That's 978-686-9966 to schedule a no-obligation tour of the CEM facilities and meet with a podcast specialist. Or go to cempodcast.com to find out more about podcasting services. cempodcast.com, your window to the world.
We are back on Ghost Chronicles Morning Edition.
We are.
Here on TojiNet.
Yes, that's what he told us.
Facebook.
We're here. Very strange.
We're here. Best April Fool's pranks of all time.
Oh, I like
some
this.
Some more here.
Sure.
According to Le Parisien, in 1986, the Eiffel Tower was going to be dismantled and rebuilt inside the new Euro Disney Park.
That's a great idea.
They should have done it. And then I like this one. Although this could be potentially cause problems. In Denmark in 1965, a Copenhagen newspaper reported the parliament had passed a law that all dogs be painted white to improve road safety because they could be seen clearly at night.
I think it's a good idea.
Unfortunately, some idiots will go out and paint their dogs. So that's not good.
That was a good idea.
Just bleach them.
Oh, yeah. Much better.
Yeah, much better. In Norway in 1987, after reading that the government was planning to distribute 10,000 liters of wine confiscated from smugglers, hundreds of citizens turned up carrying empty bottles and buckets.
I like it.
They're going to collect wine in a bucket.
Why not?
What's going on in your life?
We have it in a box.
Get it in a box. Bucket's a little different.
Bucket, box, same thing.
I mean, if you bought a new bucket, I guess.
Oh, yeah. You know, like the chip one from the chip companies. When you used to, did you ever go to that? Grand Estate knows you'd go in with your.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, bucket of chips.
Yeah, but you could get buckets from them and bring the bucket back.
Yeah, but bring the bucket back.
Yeah.
So
but it wasn't like
that?
You pulled a pail out of the shed and went to get some wine.
Who said they pailed? They maybe had their chip bucket.
Yeah, maybe.
Or their truffle bucket.
In Great Britain in 1980, these serial pranksters at the BBC announced that Big Ben, London's historic clock tower, would undergo a facelift and become digital to keep up with the times. Enraged callers flooded the station with complaints.
You think?
In Canada in 2008, WestJet Airlines advertised its overhead cabin bins as among the most spacious of any airline, saying it would charge passengers an extra $12 to use them as sleeper cabins.
Oh, nice. Anyway.
Let's see. In Germany in 2009, BMW ran an ad promoting its new magnetic tow technology. The invention enabled drivers to turn off their engine and get a free ride from locking onto the car ahead via a magnetic beam.
Sweet.
See, that's too dangerous.
I love that.
That's just too dangerous.
Where you go, I will follow.
Let's see. That's basically all I get.
That's good.
On this article, anyway. I can look something else up.
Whatever. It's just, we're rolling down the end of the show anyways, but... Yep. Yeah, it's April Fool's been weird, but do you do April Fool shit at your home?
I don't.
No.
I don't mind it. I just, you know, I just try to stay out of the line of fire as much as possible.
My old man was good at it.
Yeah. Like, what would he pull off?
Oh, I can't even remember, but I know he was good at it. He was such a straight and narrow guy. You wouldn't expect it. That was the funny part. You just get nailed by it.
The Great Spaghetti Harvest.
Ooh.
Seemingly cited online more than any other prank is the best as the story behind the Great Spaghetti Harvest that began with the reputable and usually serious British Broadcasting Corporation, which reported in April of 57 that a region in Switzerland was having a bountiful spaghetti crop that year. Spaghetti wasn't a common food in Britain at the time. The story even showed people picking spaghetti strands from trees. It's led to a mountain of calls to the BBC as to how people could grow their own spaghetti trees.
Yeah, how do you do that? How could you
get the network one? Milked the joke a while before coming clean. Sid Finch is on this list, too. Mm. The Jovian Plutonian Gravitational Effect. The BBC strikes again, this time looking beyond the bonds of Earth to pull a fast one. According to an academic.com, the BBC radio network reported that in April of 76 at 9:47 a.m., the alignment of Pluto and Jupiter would lead to a powerful gravity combination that would briefly decrease gravity on Earth. Listeners were told that if they jumped at the right moment, they would get a floating sensation.
Sweet.
BBC got calls from hundreds reporting that the unique effects, the story was revealed as a false.
But see, that's the interesting thing. Now, we talked about this in the beginning of the show, when I started the show off with a bunch of gibberish, right? It's the power of persuasion. People believe, and then it happens.
Yeah, it's also a power of confirmation bias.
Well, you know, all those people believe the BBC, and they did it, and they said, oh, yeah, I could feel it. Yeah, and they have their whole stories on it.
But too many people have preferred outcomes, and they arrive at the preferred outcomes first, you know? I mean, it's like they want to believe that. They want to think that they're going to float in the air, and so they do. They talk themselves into it.
Do you remember the Stiff as a Board, Light as a Feather, when you were a kid?
No, I don't think so.
I was big about girls, you know, girls' parties and stuff. Lake parties, they would do it. You just, somebody, girl, usually, would lay down and all the other girls would...
Oh, lift her with a finger?
Take her finger under her. Yeah. And then they say, stiff as a finger, stiff as a...
Stiff as a board, light as a feather.
Stiff as a finger, yeah. Keep saying it over and over again.
Yep.
Yeah.
Did it, actually, that was just a
prank. And they believed, believed it. And... they believed it happened. So, a couple of these things I read today came from my talk, Strange But True. And one of the things is Hume. His name is Hume. He was probably the greatest psychic ever, a medium ever.
Hume. I don't think I've heard of him.
He's from the Douglas D.D. Hume. He's from the UK. I forget what year it was, but as usual. But he was tested and tested and tested and couldn't be beat. He would levitate.
Oh.
He levitated out a third-story window.
Wow.
In front of crowds.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
People came to expose him, and they couldn't.
Okay. So how is he the only human that's ever levitated?
No, he's not. Padre Pio did it. Okay. There were other saints that did it. Saints have done it. But
yeah,
he's the only one that's ever been really documented.
What year was this?
Just don't ask me. I don't know.
Approximately.
1800s.
Oh, 1800s. Okay.
1800s. He was investigated by some of the best. Oh, we got to go?
Yeah, we got to go.
Okay. Anyways, we want to thank you for listening. In May, and just let you guys know, I'm doing a psychometry workshop at Circles of Wisdom. So check that out on IndieGhostProject.com. I don't think it's up there yet, but it will be. So check that out, IndieGhostProject.com. And in May, which is psychometry, is one of my favorite.
Yeah.
We're brought to you by Circles of Wisdom, 286 Merrimack Street, Methuen, Massachusetts, the Gallant Messier Family Law Group, 15 High Street, North Andover, Massachusetts, and our very good friends on Ghost Chronicles Radio and Patreon. Become a member. Have access to over 50 videos and so forth and other crazy nonsense. So we'll tell you next week. Stay safe and watch out for the April Fools out there.
From ghoulies to ghosties, long-leggedy beasties, and things that go bump in the night. Deliver us, good Lord.